It doesn't. Mission.
You're listening to This Week in Radio News. Radio news about radio waves, radio art, and more. I'm Tom Rowe, your host, and we'll travel across the ether to hear what's going on in radio news. Susan Ashworth reports in Radio World that broadcasters are turning to national security to get cell phones to play AM and FM radio signals. The National Association of Broadcasters and National Public Radio are now crowing about how they can help free up bandwidth in a national emergency. Usually when lobbyists cry national security, they are just trying to pile on extra funding. But the NPR and the NAB may have something of a point this time. Putting aside whether consumers want to receive AM and FM radio signals on their phones, their argument before a congressional hearing on improving wireless emergency alerts was that if the plan to send important public safety alerts to cell phones included a link to an internet site, the flood of immediate traffic to that site would probably cause problems. Remember on September 11, 2001, how difficult it was to make a phone call? Imagine now if every cell phone got an alert telling the user to go to a certain website for more information. Quote, adding a URL that simply drives users to the internet will only exacerbate the congestion of wireless networks that already plagues mobile communications and impedes public safety during times of crisis, unquote, NPR and the NAB argued in the comments on a new emergency alert policy in front of the Federal Communications Commission. Instead, broadcasters argue, why not send citizens to their local AM and FM radio stations for more information? That way, no additional bandwidth is being used, as terrestrial radio stations do not crash from too many listeners. NPR and the NAB may be correct, but they just want cell phone users to be able to tune in local frequencies from their cell phones, so adding an emergency component makes a good political argument. Quote, several phone manufacturers already support the activation of FM chips in mobile devices, including T-Mobile, AT&T, and Sprint. However, even though a majority of smartphones sold in the U.S. during the second quarter of 2015 were equipped with an FM tuner, the NAB said, FM reception was disabled by phone manufacturers and wireless carriers in 63% of those devices, unquote, Radio World reports. The FCC is accepting reply comments on the issue through February 12th for proceeding number 1591. European courts' recent rulings might outlaw mass surveillance. In Roman Zakharov versus Russia, the court said a surveillance authorization, quote, must clearly identify a specific person or a single set of premises, unquote. And then, from Hungary, the court gets more specific. Sharon St. Vincent at CDC writes, quote, in the court case Szabo and Vissi, the court considered whether the challenged Hungarian laws provide, quote, adequate and effective guarantees against abuse, unquote. The answer was no. The phrase, quote, strictly necessary in a democratic society, unquote, the court explained for the first time, means not only that a surveillance measure must be strictly necessary for, quote, safeguarding the democratic institutions, unquote, at a general level, but also must be, quote, strictly necessary for the obtaining of vital intelligence in an individual operation, unquote. Crucially, the court added that the Hungarian authorities must therefore interpret a law allowing surveillance authorizations to apply to, quote, a range of persons, unquote, which, as the court observed, could potentially include everyone in Hungary, very narrowly. According to the court, the body authorizing the surveillance must, quote, verify whether sufficient reasons for intercepting a specific individual's communications exist in each case, unquote. Analysts are waiting to see if courts cite these precedents to strike down mass surveillance programs in Europe.
The three Democrats running for president held their final debate before primaries and caucuses begin, and the three candidates were asked about encryption and whether they favor privacy over security. Here are their answers, cut just to the topic.
I think America's future success is tied to getting all kinds of tech right. Tech companies are responsible for the encryption technology to protect personal data, but the government wants a back door into that information. So do you think it's possible to find common ground, and where do you stand on privacy versus security?
So Governor O'Malley.
Thank you. I believe whether it's a back door or a front door, that the American principle of law should still hold, that our federal government should have to get a warrant, whether they want to come through your back door or your front door. And I also agree, Lester, with Benjamin Franklin, who said no people should ever give up their privacy or their freedoms and a promise for security. So we're a collaborative people. We need collaborative leadership here with Silicon Valley and other bright people in my own state of Maryland around the NSA. They can actually figure this out. But there are certain immutable principles that will not become antique things in our country so long as we defend our country and its values and its freedoms. And one of those things is our right to be secure in our homes and our right to expect that our federal government should have to get a warrant. I also want to say that while we've made some progress on the Patriot Act, I do believe that we need an adversarial court system there. We need a public advocate. We need to develop jurisprudence so that we can develop a body of law that protects the privacy of Americans in the information and digital age.
That's Tom. You have all talked about what you would do fighting ISIS over there, but we've been hit in this country by homegrown terrorists from Chattanooga to San Bernardino. The recent shooting of a police officer in Philadelphia. How are you going to fight lone wolves here, Senator
Sanders? Lester, year in and year out, I was the leader of the U.S.
That's my question, Senator Sanders. I wasn't clear. I apologize.
Okay. I just wanted to add, in the previous question, I voted against the USA Patriot Act for many of the reasons that Governor O'Malley mentioned. But it is not only the government that we have to worry about. It is private corporations. You would all be amazed, or maybe not, about the amount of information private companies and the government has in terms of the websites that you access, the products that you buy, where you are this very moment. And it is very clear to me that public policy has not caught up with the explosion of technology. So yes, we have to work with Silicon Valley to make sure that we do not allow ISIS to transmit
information. But in terms of lone wolves, the threat,
We have got to do there is, among other things, as I was just saying, have Silicon Valley help us to make sure that information being transmitted through the Internet or in other ways by ISIS is, in fact, discovered. But I do believe we can do that without violating the constitutional and privacy rights of the American people.
Secretary Clinton, I cut you off. I'll give you 30 seconds to respond on the issue of lone wolves.
Well, I wanted to say, and I'll do it quickly, I was very pleased that leaders of President Obama's administration went out to Silicon Valley last week and began exactly this conversation about what we can do consistent with privacy and security. We need better intelligence cooperation. We need to be sure that we're getting the best intelligence that we can from friends and allies around the world. And then we've got to recognize our first line of defense against lone wolf attacks is among Muslim Americans. And it is not only shameful, it is dangerous for the kinds of comments you're hearing from the Republican side. We need to be reaching out and unifying our country against terrorist attacks and lone wolves and working with Muslim Americans
Andrea
to do
has a
that.
Follow-up.
Just a quick follow-up, though,
Andrea,
Secretary Clinton.
Just a moment, Governor. Get my 30 seconds,
but Secretary please? Clinton, you said that the leaders from the intelligence community went to Silicon Valley. They were flatly turned down. They got nowhere.
That is not what I've heard. Let me leave it at that.
The National Weather Service is testing a new voice for its weather radio in select markets around the country. Here is a recording from South Carolina market where the new radio voice is being tested. We'll first hear the new radio voice and then the current weather radio voice.
Upgrades have been made to the system which produces the broadcast programs for NOAA Weather Radio. A new computer program is being used to generate audio recordings of the forecasts, observations, watches, and warnings created by the National Weather Service for the radio transmitters. The actual broadcast programming is the same, but listeners may notice that messages are being read in a different voice. The National Weather Service office in Greenville, Spartanburg is part of a small group of offices nationwide participating in an operational test and evaluation of the new voice system. Meteorologists at the Greenville, Spartanburg office are closely monitoring the quality of the new voice and verifying that the correct content is being broadcast. If significant problems are discovered, the office will switch back to the original system until the problems can be fixed. Once again, no change is being made to the kinds of programming heard on NOAA Weather Radio transmitters. Watches and warnings will continue to cause receivers to alert as before. If you have comments regarding the quality of this new voice, please call 1-800-267-8101. Again, that phone number is 1-800-267-8101.
Now, the current weather radio voice that voice will replace.
Wind chill values as low as 5 below after midnight. Friday, sunny, cold with highs in the mid-20s.
This is Tom Rowe reporting for WGXC and Wave Farm Radio.
The politics of this state of the evil domination of
Bernie.
I am speaking of
Donald J. Trump,
the fighting liberal, the friend of the working man, the next governor of this state, who entered upon this campaign
with one purpose only: to point out and make public the dishonesty, the downright villainy of political machine, now in complete control of the government of this state. I made no campaign promises, because until a few weeks ago, I had no hope of being elected.
I promise.
I will not make the pledge at this time.
Now, however, I have something more than a hope.
There's a movement going on, folks. This isn't just like, let's go and have a good time.
We're not going anywhere. I'm surging, they said. Can you believe this one? I'm surging with women. Can you believe it? Such respect for women. I cherish women. I'm going to take such good care of women's health care issues. You won't even believe it. But I'm surging with women.
I love it. Now I can afford to make some promises. And the slum child, no, they can expect my best efforts in their interests. The decent, ordinary citizens know that I'll do everything in my power to protect the underprivileged, the underpaid, and the underfed.
So we're taking people in, and we don't know where these people come from. We don't know who they are, where they are. There's no papers, no
They're
anything.
Like the rebels who we are arming.
Now, if I weren't too busy arranging to keep them.
Oh, that's the most notable thing that ever
17th was Art's Birthday, an annual event where radio artists around the world celebrate Art's Birthday, birthday of the concept of art. We're now hearing Happy Birthday backwards in honor of Art's Birthday. Before then, we heard a remix of the Charles Foster Kane political speech from Citizen Kane with Donald Trump dubbed in on This Week in Radio News.
This is Tom Rowe with new music for 2015. This is brand new from Bob Mould, Voices in My Head. The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.